You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspirations. Good morning, David.
Morning, Sue. How are you?
As well. And how are you?
Yeah, well, nice to be back. It feels like it's been ages, I must say.
Yes, and happy birthday for the
Thank
other
you so
day.
Much. Thank you so much. Yes. 2 weeks ago, yeah. Yes. Feels like it should be my birthday already again. It's like the years fly so quick.
Yeah, we need birthdays every day, don't we?
I tell you every day. Well, Mother's Day was just as important yesterday.
Yes, it was.
So.
But now, you know, it's Mother's and Father's Day every day, David. It's
100%.
Just that day is just a special one.
No,
right?
You agree with me? I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you.
Because Father's Day is coming up soon too.
Is it really?
Yes.
Check the birth certificates.
Yes.
No, I'm just teasing. But it's so good to see you, Sue. Sorry, that was Texas. So we're quite late into the month. That's
because
last month, sometimes it happens in my service as well. We had a three-visit month for the month of April, which has pushed us a little bit late this month. But nonetheless, we are going to discuss what should have been done and should be doing for the month of May. Obviously, in a winter rainfall region, which is Cape Town. I must say, though, look at we had some wonderful rain Friday.
Yes,
but
yes.
We desperately need more, I think, Sue, if we're going to sustain. But
at the moment, looking at it, I mean, we like the rain, and it's, you know, we need the rain.
Yeah.
But the weather we're having is amazing.
It's amazing. The wind as well, because the wind normally fades in winter.
Yes.
So the fact that the wind's still blowing southeast is a bit unusual.
Yes.
But hey, we'll take it. We'll take those few days.
Of course we will.
Our dam level's also quite full, which is quite lucky. So we have a bit of grace this year, but it doesn't mean we must use water uncaringly.
Yes.
I'm a big water lover, so let's make sure
we still use
our water well and put it in the right places. But okay, cool. So as we always do, Sue, I'm going to start by mentioning that we do have a WhatsApp studio number if anybody wants to message in and ask questions, then we're welcome to. Can you see it?
I don't need it.
You're so lucky. I will put
it out to all our super duper listeners near and far. If this is your chance to ask David questions on 072-447-8044.
I must really learn that off a heart for you guys. Lekka, thank you so much. So we're going to start off with, as usual, with trees, shrubs, and climbers for the winter rainfall region. You can choose your liquid ambles, maples, and other trees with autumn color. You can compost your fallen leaves. I always think that's a really good thing to do. It's something that I try and do permanently in a sense of when my teams work around the clients' gardens. We don't want to rake up all the leaves. We all know that if you go to the forest, it's just a natural process where the leaves fall off. They create a few layers. You know, the bottom layer gets broken down pretty quickly by the layer of beautiful insects that are in there.
Yes.
And so on and so on. So something that we try and create for our natural gardens and our homes. It just helps the natural process of breakdown, carbon monoxide being absorbed, obviously nitrogen being put back into the ground for greenness and growth. The one thing you don't want to do, Sue, is if you've had a disease, just be careful not to compost those or put those into your compost pile. You can actually spread a disease around. You'll notice that if we talk about diseases, normally we would rather say just get rid of them into a bag or burn them if you can.
There's different kinds of diseases, are there?
Your fungicides, insecticides. Look, the insecticide is a you always hear our very natural Jacques talking about it. The insecticide sort of process is something that I also believe in. Insects need certain plants to survive, but remember, all of it creates an ecosystem. So it's good to leave an insect doing what it does. I mean, I've got a tree in my own home, and every single year, this exact time of year, it has hundreds of, if not thousands of little black worms on it that eat it. But it's actually a Cicularia africana. It's an indigenous tree. And I just leave it because, it's a weird thing to tell you, but the tree actually comes back stronger every year.
It's nature.
It needs to be done, you know. I realize that some of us, we have very specialized plants. I think roses are considered a special plant. You know, you want to watch the too much aphid in that. But again, you can always, you know, I'm very much organic. You can always use a bit of sunlight liquid or something on there just to give it they don't like the viscosity, so they'll move away. But anyway.
Yeah. But David, have you noticed the butterflies? How many butterflies
amazing.
Are still just flying around?
Yeah, it's amazing.
And the white ones.
It's absolutely beautiful. That's a good sign. Remember, the butterflies and the bees are both pollinators. So we obviously want the more butterflies and the more bees we can keep around, the better for us. I must say, it's one thing when you drive over the side to the side of the world, I do find it becomes more natural generally. And people do care, yes. And I love that people care, and I think it's very important, you yes. know. So we'll keep it up. I always encourage natural tree lines for all the insects and animals. I found some chameleons the other day. I haven't seen a chameleon in such a long time. It was so nice to see them on a client's bush, and just there was actually like a white one. He was incredible. So it's very important that we just try and work with nature, especially this time in our lives. Yeah, anyway, so we carry on. So you're going to clear your drains in case of wet, stormy weather. I guess that doesn't fall under trees, but I understand what they're saying, especially if you've got tanks connected. I've just cleaned out some tanks for a client up the road. You want to make sure that you just watch the first storms. Then you're going to plant hardy natives, particularly in areas with winter rainfall, to take advantage of the seasonal rain. It's something we've always discussed. Some clients are not as privileged to have water. It's always a good time of year to plan a garden to plant it so that you have the 3 to 4 months of sustained wetness to the roots. So sometimes you come out of winter very lucky that all the plants you've put in have completely taken, and especially if they're drought-tolerant plants, then you might just need to give them a sprinkle in the hottest of the hottest weather. But yes. Other than that, they generally will take. So we're very lucky. Right, one of my favorites, as you know, Sue, we're moving on to roses. But it's the time of year now where roses aren't really doing so well. They're starting to fade now. So you're going to check your soil acidity, and if the soil is too acid, apply dolomite. Check roses for black spot, rust, and powdery mildew. Destroy infected leaves. We just mentioned that.
Yes.
The reason why you'll get the mildew, powdery mildew, and funny enough, I was going to mention it when we were talking about the leaves. It's the fungicides that you want to. Sorry, we got sidetracked on insects, but it's the fungicides that you want to watch more. So, once a fungus gets in, as you know, even with a human, if you get a fungus on a cut, it makes that cut 15 times worse. You know, so and funguses generally are weather predicted things. So Jeremy and I were talking the other day from Harry Gummins, obviously our wonderful sponsor, we appreciate very much, but he was talking about what we start watering our lawns in the mornings rather than the evenings, because yes. if the wet sits too long, it can create what you know fungus, that moss yeah. but it becomes fungus, and yes. it can actually cause quite a lot of damage to your lawns. There's also I'm about to get to lawns next, but there is a lawn caterpillar and cricket going around at the moment. So if you live locally and you notice some of your grass is starting to get patchy, it couldn't be anything that you're doing wrong. I always tell clients right now, this time of year, you've got to start cutting very high. I'm probably going one step ahead because I see lawns is next, but you want to keep your grass long now, yes. especially in the shaded areas. If you cut too low, the grass won't grow back yeah. at the rest of the
and
season.
Like you say, you're going to cut it seasonal, so you're going to cut it closer to summer coming then.
Yeah, so right it's down. Much higher now, and probably yeah. once a month only.
Yes.
If twice a month if it's kikuyu and it's still in sun in winter. But you'll find, like kikuyu, for example, too, in summer when it's getting good water, we cut weekly. It's got to be cut weekly, yeah. you know.
Because I know grass is also one of your favorites. Yes. Roses and grass yes, is your favorite.
Yes, I know. But it's a contradiction. It's the two things that shouldn't be. Because remember, a grass has to be kept so much, yes. you know. Feed, spray, look after, mow, pay to dump, pay to fertilize. It just never ends, you know. But anyway, so let's finish off with roses. So you're going to check, that's why I went to the powdery mildew. That's purely if your rose stems are sitting in a little bit more shade than they should be. It does happen. And then you're going to begin planting late this month in if the site was prepared at least a month ago, in warmer areas, leaving planting until June.
Which is around the corner.
Just around the corner, I tell you. Take autumn cuttings about 15 centimeters in length. I find those sort of little details are for the real avid gardener. You know, we don't really want to sit and cut a rose 15 centimeters and then watch it and try and seed it. You know, we don't have time for that, do we, Sue?
Yeah, no, we
don't. Gotta move on. Buy it and move on. Okay, so lawns, you're going to mow, feed, and water lawns. I must tell you that clearly the book that I use is based, it's probably an American-based book, but you don't want to feed your lawns now. If you're going to feed, you want to feed an organic feed. You're not trying to get your grass to grow now. It's not going to grow. All lawns are going dormant, be it Buffalo, Snowdon, Kikuyu, and Cape Town. What you're going to do is you're going to put some organic feed down so that the roots have a bit of nutrient to
keep it healthy.
Sustain them through winter, basically.
Keep it healthy 100%. Through winter.
Again, if you mow too low now in the next month in June, and you've really mowed low, like right down, then you're going to battle a little bit if it's in the shade, because it won't grow up. So the feed's not going to make any difference. The feed is purely there just to nourish the roots for this wet season. And drainage is something that's very important in lawns as well. You'll find exactly the topic we're talking about, fungus, etc. If a lawn sits in a layer of water too long, The exact same situation. So
how do you drain that? You've got to wait for the sun and wait the
and then
wind.
Do a proper job. Yeah.
So you've got to wait for the seasons in 100%. One day.
Well, what you're going to do is you've got to wait for the lawn to dry out because it's easier to dig. We then come in. I do a lot of drainage actually. It's a natural drainage system. It's a geofabric sock that covers 110 mm pipe. You obviously lay it in some stone aggregate. You cover it with stone all the way around, 19 mm grey stone. You then cover that in fabric, and then you put sand on it, and then you allow it. We've had this conversation with pots.
Yes, we have. Long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the exact same story. If you put a layer of stones in your pots, and you don't put a geofabric between the stone and the soil, remember, the stones are bigger, and the sand particles are smaller. So what happens is the water naturally pulls the sand particles into the gaps of the rocks, and eventually ends up doing the complete opposite to what you're trying to achieve, and clogs up your drainage. So it's the same thing, just on a bigger scale. Yes. So you just got to naturally run the water away. It's very much like you'll see any building construction. I know your husband does a lot of building in that too, but you see all the little pipes that come out the walls. Those are all sort of subsurface drainage to allow the water out, if that makes sense to you. But anyway, so that's lawns. Not much more for lawns, because as I say, it's a very bad time for lawns now. You just got to manage them. You'll find that a lot of weed starts coming up. So if you're worried about weed and you're a bit OCD like I am with your lawn, I'm very lucky to have the labor available because obviously they're my teams. But I would recommend once to twice a month finding a wonderful guy that works in your local area. You'll find that there are good guys that people recommend to each other. Bring him in for a day and then just give him a weeding fork and a bag. And make sure the thing I find, even my guys do this, and I do moan at them about it. When you weed, try not to just put a pile of weed on the lawn and then move on and weed. You want to weed into a bag. Because as soon as you drop that weed there, the seed that's on top, believe it or not, will just drop off and fall back onto your grass. So you want to take it out and bag it straight away. So if any seed falls off, you've caught it rather than allowing it to go back to your thing. And obviously one of the biggest things that happen now in lawns is what we call winter grass. It's a funny thing because a lot of people like to leave it in the worst areas because it looks green. But remember, the more it grows, the more it pushes out your own grass. So you got to have a balance. And that's pretty much about it.
We are busy with the Garden Zone with David Parker from Bud. In inspiration.
Lie. You had me on mute, Sue. You wouldn't let me do the guitar instrumental. You were lying to you. You put me on mute, Sue. Nah, I'm just teasing. Alrighty. So, no questions yet, but we get there. So, we're going to move on to flowering plants for winter. So, we're going to look at trimming dahlias or flowering to protect tall stems from wind. Cut to nearly ground level after flowering. Cut back old dahlia foliage, lift tubes and store, and then sow late cool season annuals and candy tufts, Canterbury bells, delphiniums, dianthus, godetias, and then that's where it ends. But I must tell you, as you know with me, Sue, obviously because it's specifically flowering, I think the South Africans especially are moving away from annuals generally, unless you've got beautiful two pots by your front door.
Is there a reason why?
Yeah, because they have to be turned over every few months. They're costly. But as I say, they just provide that instant impact. So I think, you know, people planning a wonderful party, they'll fill up some pots for that party or so. But they just need, again, a lot of TLC. And I find, as with fast food takeouts, for example, everything's becoming so fast in this world soon. You know, and you want instant gardens and low maintenance so that you can do what you need to do. And
instant trees,
support
that's
your
true.
Kids. Yeah, yeah. And you can actually get anything now. I mean, I was out by Ken Forrester Wine Farm the other day, and I drove past the tree nursery. I mean, we've got a local one here that's amazing, but I think this one was sort of level above them. For example, I saw a tree that was literally 10 meters tall or something. It's absolutely ludicrous. I mean, it's amazing. It takes one truck, you know, two massive cranes to plant this thing. I would hate to know the cost of it, to be honest. I must phone and investigate for us, Sue. We can plant a tree over the studio in the back. Come on, Mr. Griggs. No, it's easy. So, rock and flower and water gardens. Feed spring bulbs if the shoots begin to emerge. Okay, so we obviously not in spring yet. We've got a few months till then. Plant the last dwarf snapdragons, pansies, primulas, and violas. Plant heliotropes for winter flowers in shady rock pockets. I love heliotropes, one of the lovely flowers. Unfortunately, in non-indigenous plant, but absolutely gorgeous stems of purple and that for you. So, like a lavender, looks gorgeous. Mm. And then you're going to plant, you're going to let your spring bulbs be in a dry spot and wait a few months, and then you put them in the ground and just plant them out. So container plants, you're going to, with cooler nights, reducing watering for cacti and succulents, which I think is pretty logical. You're going to tip pots of tuberous begonias on their side as plants become dormant. In early spring, repot to grow again. That's quite good advice, depending on where your begonias are. But again, I laugh at these sort of info, because the last thing I want to do is arrive home and see my pot on the side, you know, and leave it like a. But I think it would freak my brain out a little bit too. But you know, you could obviously take them out the pot.
So maybe. How often do you just? How long does it lie there?
That's what I'm saying. That's why you just got to choose what you're going to do. I'd rather use a little hand spade and remove them into a box and put them in your garage. That's what it's saying. If they go a little bit dormant now, and then maybe you can use that pot for a dash of color for 2 months in front of your door. If you go to Harry Goodman's at the moment.
And then when do you put them back in
there? You put them back in spring, growing season.
Really?
Yeah. There's so much. I mean, excuse me, bulbs are one of those amazing things. We got this gladiola in our front garden that it literally is in a pot. It's never been cared for. It's cared for in the fact that it's in the watering zone, you know, et cetera. And my guys throw a bit of feed on every now and then. But it comes up once a year and has the most beautiful, prolific purple and pinky flowers that obviously gladiola, as everyone knows them, shoots off. And then I wait for it to die, cut it down, and I don't see it till next year again. And I mean, you just think about that. It's pretty incredible, hey?
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I waste. So just hibernate for 7 months of the year. Cover myself in my duvet and just reemerge in summer.
But nature is amazing. Nature is
incredible. We could learn so much. And I think we do, as long as we appreciate it, you know. Cool. And then plant pots of pansies, poppies, and violas for extra color. Now, that's ironic because we just spoke about what we could plant. So you could always remove your tuberous begonias and fill them with those for color by the door. We've got two more topics to chat about too for this beautiful Monday morning.
Yes.
That is going to be vegetables and herbs. And then last but not least, your fruit. So you can liquid feed leafy vegetables like broccoli, cabbage, and spinach. Lime rough dug vacant beds for winter weathering. So in other words, you want to just dig in some thick lime just to help with the breakdown and that for beds for winter weathering, or sow a green manure crop such as sunflowers, lupins, or oats. I noticed that Rogers Fruiterers.
Yes.
So I drove past there, I suppose, about 2 months ago now, though, and I saw the guy sort of making all the little lines. And he put in all the seed. And I promise you, Sue, within about 2 weeks, there were 5-foot sunflowers that were absolutely...
Apparently, he was given... If you purchased a certain amount of goodies, whatever they sell there, then you got a bunch of sunflowers.
Amazing. Well, there we go.
So he was giving them a bunch of sunflowers.
But I think what he was doing is he was getting the bed ready to sow the next season.
Okay.
So that's what they do if you read that the sunflowers
are you're quite right. Riding past it, it just lifted you up, didn't it?
It's incredible. Yeah. They are beautiful. It's one of my wife's favorite plants, I must say. So I absolutely love them. And I think going into winter, we all want sun, so it's beautiful. Where were we? So there we go. You're going to sow broad beans, cabbages, carrots, leeks, lettuces, and peas. You're going to check brassicas for caterpillars of white cabbage butterfly and repair drainage around the beds. So I always tell clients, look, vegetables and herbs are wonderful. If you want to give them a go, start off in a small scale, get one wooden planter box. It's always better to contain your veggies and herbs in a raised planter, for example.
Yes.
Easier to manage. It takes a lot of TLC. I think if you put a bit of effort and you get the rhythm right, I think you can reap and enjoy it.
Yes.
I did try, and I think it's like they always have that saying about a mechanic's car doesn't drive well. When I get home, sometimes people are like, I don't want to do gardening.
You're in the garden every day.
That's what I'm saying. I'm outdoors and doing it.
A builder for their home, a mechanic with a car.
Exactly.
And, you know, a housewife.
Exactly. So, but we were talking about, I must actually share with you because actually it was quite cute actually. So I took my mother's yesterday. There were these two kids and like, Mommy, we just hired some people to help while you have the day off. And I swear there's about 30 people standing there. You can see a chef and like a lady with a mop and a mobility to show you what a mother does all day.
Yes,
I thought it was very cute, to be honest. But cool. Last but not least, we're going to chat about fruit. And again, I've always been honest about my knowledge. Veggies and herbs and fruit do take a lot of TLC and a lot of understanding and care.
That's
not my strong point, not because I don't want it to be, just because I haven't put a lot of effort into it. Because remember, my job generally entails me to come every 2 weeks to a home. I do have one or two homes that I come every week, but that's just because there's a lot of grass in that. So you'll find you do get companies out there. I saw one the other day that looked amazing. One of my clients, she's in Constantia. Unfortunately, I can't think of the name now, but they're just like an edible growing. They only come to help you sustain what you've grown and help you pick. And I think you learn from them a bit over a few months, and then you can move off on your own. I think it's a really wonderful thing. And I think obviously the world would benefit from more people doing that. So I see a lot of the schools do the feeding programs, which I think is really good.
Yes.
You know, I've got so much ground. Let's utilize it and make it work. So, all right, last but not least for this beautiful Monday series, fruit. And then I'm going to get out everyone's hair. Carefully remove any fruit remains plus attached twigs which carry disease. Going back to our very first topic of today, attached twigs which carry disease, particularly on stone fruit, clear fallen fruit from beneath trees and destroy. So you can hear there, they're just trying to stop the spread literally of the disease. Order deciduous fruit trees now. Now's a good time to plant strawberries. And then at last but not least, you can check your citrus for scale. The lemon trees are quite susceptible to the scale and a little bit of fruit fly in that now. So a little bit of spray would work. Again, if you need any help, you can always give me a call.
Yes.
On 073-247-0351. Or obviously you can pop down to our beautiful local nursery, Harry Gimmons, and chat to the amazing staff there who are all extremely knowledgeable in pretty much all aspects. Yeah. And I'm sure they can give you the right guidance.
Well, thank you, David.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
much. Have a lovely day. It's lovely seeing you.
We will see you in 2 weeks' time.
Cheers, man.
Ciao, ciao. Bye.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Gimmons Garden Center.